This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm anxious to see what Daryl thinks is exactly how, now that the dust has settled a little bit, how this is going to work. I don't necessarily even mean play out and give me a prediction as to who's the guy. How's this going to work? And Daryl joins us right now. He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Daryl.
Hello, boys.
How's this going to work with four quarterbacks? Is one guy from the beginning going to be the odd man out when it comes to reps and the possibility of earning a spot? Or do they somehow juggle it and make it work?
I think they have to juggle it and make it work because I don't think that there's any one of these four quarterbacks that is worthy of being the lead dog in the race or being eliminated right out of the gate from the race. So I really do believe that this is going to be a four-man competition, at least at the outset, starting with rookie minicamp when they get their first look at Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders on the field. And then, you know, they'll kind of take it from there as they progress into the off-season program.
Daryl, when I look at the four guys, I think, which guy doesn't fit? And it's Joe Flacco. But that said, I can't imagine them moving forward with Pickett, Sanders, and Gabriel. So I think somehow Flacco is going to fit here because I think he's the security blanket. Do you think that's a fair assessment, or is that way off base?
No, I don't think it's off base. I think that, you know, Flacco right now is my leader in the clubhouse to start the offseason program just because of what he did in 2023. Now, obviously, a lot can change between now and the end of August and early September there. I see a variety of scenarios playing out, quite honestly, and that just tells you, I think, how unpredictable this particular situation is for the Browns. But you know, one of those scenarios would involve a trade at some point. Not now, but come training camp time when they start to thin the herd a little bit. You know, I think that there's a chance that you could cut Dylan Gabriel at the cutdown deadline and get him through waivers and onto the practice squad so you ultimately end up keeping all four quarterbacks. So There's a lot of time between now and cut down day at the last week of August there, and I think that Kevin Stefanski certainly is going to have his work cut out for him as he tries to figure out who his starting quarterback is going to, not just the starter, but who's going to be number two on that depth chart as well.
I know this. When was this story came out yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Yeah. Shedeur Sanders has the top-selling jersey of the 2025 rookie class. I'm not sure the last time that happened for a fifth-rounder, if ever. And what does that mean for the Browns? Does that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if there's a marketing thing going on here. And then I also wonder if that's the case, because Jeff and I were just talking about this, what do you think the fans want?
Well, I don't know what the fans would want right now. I would imagine it would be Shedeur. Look, he's good for business already for the Browns, no question about it. I can't remember a fifth-round pick being as popular as he is just days after that selection. He's already making his mark here. He was over at John Marshall High School yesterday talking to kids. He's seen videos on social media of him working out at various local establishments and parks and whatnot. So he clearly, at least on the surface, appears to be coming to town with a pretty positive attitude and an idea of what's in front of him, and that is that he's going to have to earn this job. It's certainly not going to be given to him, not as a fifth-round pick, and certainly not when they drafted Dylan Gabriel in the third round, 94th overall, right? 50 picks in front of him. But look, I will say this. I hope that the Browns learn their lesson and they're not going to make any decisions when it comes to playing time or the roster solely based on business purposes, because we all remember what happened when Brian Hoyer got benched for Johnny Manziel because they were selling Manziel jerseys in the team shop and he was a first round pick and they wanted to get him on the field even though he had no business being put on the field based on his preparation and his approach and how he was showing up to the facility on a daily basis. So if Shedeur Sanders ultimately does play this season, I just hope that it is 100% a football decision.
Daryl Ryder joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. Have you heard anything since the draft about Dylan Gabriel that changes your thought, your thinking about him and the way the Browns think of him since the draft?
Well, no, I mean, they obviously think real highly of him since they, you know, picked him where they did. My only question with him is, twofold. One, his size, and then two, what Ohio State did to him in a college football playoff. Because let's be honest about it, Ohio State's the closest thing you're going to face, you're going to come to facing an NFL team in college football, right? And it did not go well for Dylan Gabriel. So, you know, fair or not, I have questions about his 5'11 size. And I mean, Baker was what, listed at 6'2, 6'3 or whatever, and that's all anyone wanted to talk about. And, you know, was, is he tall enough? So I think it is a fair discussion to have. Look, he did a nice job at Oregon. He put up a bunch of numbers, set, a bunch of records nationally as well. But I do have questions as to whether or not he can be successful being less than 6 feet tall in the national, especially in today's NFL, where the players are bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. You know, as well, if this was 20, 25 years ago, I probably would have bat an eyelash over the situation. But, you know, the game has changed. The players have changed.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. They didn't make any moves on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that, where they're going with this? Yeah, they brought some guys. But when you look at the starters on the offensive line, they're back.
Yeah. I honestly don't like it. I don't think that they are positioned to transition to a younger line at this point. And that is one of my concerns with that line, aside from the fact that you have both your starting offensive tackles and DeJuan Jones and Jack Conklin, both guys are off injured, unfortunately. And, certainly can't hold that against those two guys. But, look, it is a reality that you have to think about and you have to deal with there. So, I am a little concerned about that. This is probably the last year for Joel Bitonio. I anticipate that he'll retire after 12 seasons and he completes his contract. You know, Wyatt Teller, I think that he's scheduled to be a free agent, if my memory serves me correctly, next year. There's a decision that they're going to have to make there. So I don't feel like they're young enough up front right now to be adequately prepared for a transition, which, oh, by the way, they're going to have a young quarterback. And I keep using this analogy. Do they really want a Cincinnati Bengals this thing? Right? I mean, Joe Burrow's career has almost been cut short because of the offensive line situation down there. So I would have felt a little more comfortable if they would have brought a young guy in, but I do think they signed a couple of undrafted free agents that they're going to bring in here. And maybe they find someone there or on the tryout circuit too, in rookie minicamp that they want to, you know, sign to the 90-man offseason roster and give them a shot at making the football team come training camp.
Daryl Ryder joining us. Daryl, it's clear the Browns are going to run the football. You know, they've got an experienced offensive line, and whether it's injury prone or who knows, you draft two right. running backs. It's Jerry Jeudy. What we might have of Cedric Tillman if the concussion situation's not a big time thing. Deontay Johnson, right. If he gets lucky. What are they thinking at wide receiver? And does it matter drastically if they're going to try and run the football and play two tight ends more.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to give some of those young kids a chance around Jerry Jeudy, and this obviously will be a very big year for Cedric Tillman as far as opportunity goes. I don't know that this was the draft that was great for that particular position, so I understand them not drafting another receiver, and let's be honest about it. Andrew Berry has not had a lot of success drafting wide receivers. So, there is that part of it, and you can always trade for a guy. Andrew Berry is very good at pouncing on opportunity and trading for guys. So maybe he's kind of keeping his ear to the ground and trying to see if maybe an opportunity presents itself for him to go out and get some additional help at receiver. But you're right. I do feel like this is going to turn back into the Kevin Stefanski offense that we saw a couple years ago, where they were dependent upon the run game. They used the tight ends effectively and frequently within the offense. And I think that part of that's going to be quarterback driven, of course. But, look, Kevin Stefanski's offense is typically is a timing offense. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, and the ball should be there when you arrive. It's not much of an off-schedule offense. So I think that that's kind of what we're going to see this year. And, Andrew Berry tells you what he's thinking by what he does, not by what he says. And the fact that they drafted not one, but two running backs in this draft, I think tells you exactly what the Browns have in mind this coming season.
Also based on that, every time I Google Nick Chubb, I keep seeing Chicago Bears. You think that's going to become a reality, or do you think is there a path for him to return here next year?
Yeah, I hate speaking in absolutes. I would say that the fact that they drafted two young running backs lessens the odds that he comes back. But look, the Browns know what Nick Chubb means to the fan base and what he means within the locker room. But he looks incredible in his offseason work. He's doing the squats, doing the jumps and all those type of things. So obviously his knees and his foot are healed, and he looks like his offseason videos this year look like what we had seen in previous years prior to that devastating knee injury in Pittsburgh. So, I'm sure he's motivated to come back and really show everyone that he's got plenty left to give. Personally, would I love the Browns to re-sign Nick Chubb? Absolutely, 100%. But I also understand that Andrew Berry hasn't done that just yet.
Daryl, thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, D.
You bet, guys.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.